It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll discuss the Supreme Court's decision this morning not to take up any same-sex marriage cases.
First, late last month, we received news that beloved Wisconsin author Ben Logan passed away at the age of 94. He was best known for his 1975 memoir called The Land Remembers, in which Logan wrote about growing up on a farm in southwest Wisconsin and his relationship with the land.
Over the years, the tale has become a favorite among readers and Chapter a Day listeners, having been brought back numerous times by popular request. Here's WPR's Carl Schmidt reading the introduction of The Land Remembers.
Once you've lived on the land, been a partner with its moods, secrets, and seasons, you cannot leave. The living land remembers, touching you in unguarded moments, saying, "I am here, you are part of me." When this happens to me, I go home again, in mind or in person, back to a hilltop world in southwestern Wisconsin. This is the story of that farm and its people. That land is my genesis. I was born there, cradled by the land. And I am always there, even though I have been a wanderer.
With that kind of beginning, it's hard not to get drawn into the story. We'll talk more about that story and the man behind it and hear about how Logan's seldom-seen farm, the land described so beautifully in the book, was preserved and protected in recent years.
One of the people involved in that preservation effort joins us now. Tim Jacobson is the CEO of Visionaire Consulting and Communications and executive producer of the Emmy-nominated documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless. Tim, thanks a lot for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, Tim, a lot of us know Ben Logan was the author of a famous book about the land in Wisconsin, but it may be that that's where our familiarity ends. Aside from the book, who was Ben Logan?
Well, Ben was a very warm and wonderful person. I didn't get to meet him until his later years. It was 2008 when I met him. I was serving as executive director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy in La Crosse, and he and his farm were brought to my attention in terms of an interest in permanently protecting seldom-seen farm, and that's when I got to meet him.
What was that meeting like?
Well, Peter Annan, who's another Wisconsin author, had found out from an interview that Ben had given that he was concerned about his farm and whether after he was gone there would be no way to ensure that it remained a farm. And so he communicated with his friend Mike Striegel at Gathering Waters Conservancy in Madison, who connected with me, about what we could do to help Ben out. And a meeting was arranged, and we actually, I think I first met him on his farm, and we had a nice talk there. And then shortly thereafter, we met as a group of people out at the Elder Leopold Legacy Center and had a really wonderful meeting talking about the farm and Ben's wishes for the farm, and what we could do to protect it. And I just always found Ben to be incredibly, you know, warm, generous person. And it was just to hear his thoughts and ideas about our Wisconsin landscape and how he had taken, you know, Elder Leopold's ideas of a land ethic and really breathed more life into that in terms of how he told about that in the context of his upbringing on the farm was just really remarkable. And what a wonderful storyteller.
And that book, The Land Remembers, it continues to move forward today. People still love it. They still love hearing it on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a fan favorite. What do you think it is about that book, The Land Remembers, that seems to transcend time?
Well, you know, there's something about kind of a rural lifestyle and farms, I think, in general that people identify with, but yet folks who maybe have not grown up in rural areas, you know, wouldn't have a way to necessarily feel a personal connection. But when you read Ben's story, it makes you feel like you were there, like you were almost part of his upbringing on the farm, and that just sense of genuineness, the care and respect for the land, the sense of responsibility for, you know, what we have here with the earth, the nature, it just really comes through in a very personal, powerful way. It's hard to explain how it can grip a person and make you feel a part of it all.
It's interesting because I expected before I did a lot of research that he would have stayed on Wisconsin his whole life, but he was a wanderer, as he said, but the land always drew him back. How did he write about that relationship?
How did he write about the relationship? Well, I think in terms of, you know, retelling, you know, he wrote the book or published it in 1975, and he had already been gone from Wisconsin, I think, for a very long period of time. And so, you know, one of the things related to that that he told me when I was talking to him was that he had a sense that people were becoming really disconnected from the earth, that there seemed to be a growing lack of respect for nature and the land. And he was also concerned that in literature that people of the land were not very well represented. And that was a motivating force in terms of him writing The Land Remembers. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that that voice of people and that land itself, which he often said had a voice of its own, that that voice would be told so that more people could hear it. And so I think that comes really through his writing very strongly.
Now, you mentioned Aldo Leopold as you were talking about Ben Logan. Do you see him as being sort of a partner in that land stewardship writing? Do you see his work as going hand in hand with Sanconi Almanac?
Oh, definitely. There's a really strong connection there. Ben was a student of Aldo Leopold's, and he once told me that that Leopold kind of distrusted Ben's emotionalism. He said that generally Leopold was very unemotional, but there was one story that Ben told me about how the first time he saw Leopold pound the podium was a discussion about ecology, and basically he said, you know, you can't, Leopold told Logan in the class, you can't pick up anything one at a time. And basically what he's referring to is that when you take some action with regard to anything, you're affecting other parts of the world as well, that everything is interconnected, which is, you know, really ties in to the whole lesson of ecology and Leopold's concept of a land ethic, that we are, I mean, Leopold said we're a community with the land, that the land is part of us, and it's not merely a commodity that we can use and abuse, but it's something that we should have a relationship with and love and care for. And clearly, you know, that was something that Ben Logan felt very strongly about as well. And those roots of that connection with the land certainly was present while Ben was a little boy on the farm. But, you know, I think the fact that he had the opportunity to study with Leopold and, you know, learn those lessons and have those things reinforced from maybe a more academic perspective, and having heard those things in the terms of ethics, I think certainly had a profound impact on Ben.
We're talking about the life and legacy of Wisconsin author Ben Logan. He passed away last month at the age of 94. And you can share your thoughts and memories of Ben Logan and The Land Remembers at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did you read his book, The Land Remembered? What about it stuck with you? And why do you think it's resonated with so many people over so many years? And what is it about southwestern Wisconsin that inspires work like this? 800-642-1234 is our number, or you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Fall was the end of harvest, end of the growing season, a glorious burst of color and sun warmth, before killing frost turned the land gray and cold. Fall was a moody time, full of both life and death, a time when we were reminded of the power outside us, reminded that the seasons happen to us. We do not invite the change to come.
That's Carl Schmidt reading from Ben Logan's The Land Remembers, describing a feeling that we here in Wisconsin know all too well. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Logan passed away late last month at the age of 94, so we're remembering him today. And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. What is it about that Driftless area and Ben Logan's book that stays with us? Our guest now is Tim Jacobson, who helped preserve and protect the land described in the book, Seldom Seen Farm. And we're going to go to a caller first. We've got John with us from La Crosse. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. I was a longtime teacher at North Crawford High School, not too far from Seldon Seen Farm, and I had the extraordinary privilege to take a group of high school kids at the end of the year to his house every year to actually see the house after they read the book. And long story short, we had some amazing conversations, and I had kids that did not want to go home on the bus, and the bus came to get us. They wanted to stay with Ben.
Wow.
And he was... he could be intimidating. The kids would be intimidated to see such a famous author, but he's such a warm guy that those feelings melted away quickly. And I just had to say something after 10 years of going to his home and having those students be with me and be with him that somewhere off in the distance, I'd like to thank Ben for those moments because they were extraordinary.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that. That's quite a story, isn't it? Tim, we've got this busload of kids who doesn't want to go home after they're on the farm hanging out, hearing Ben Logan's stories. I want to ask you, is it about the farm and Ben Logan that were so captivating?
Well, at the Conservancy, we organized a number of nature hikes, so we would, you know, invite the public to come to these events, and, you know, we'd see over and over again how people would travel from considerable distances, sometimes from other states, to come and just to get a chance to walk on the farm and possibly to see Ben. And, you know, what John just said is certainly true. You know, he's just very warm, and it's a special place. When people read the book, they feel a connection to that place. And that was so important for Ben to know that land, Seldom Seen Farm, would remain a farm. And so, you know, now that he's gone, fortunately, that conservation easement with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy is in place. And there are people, you know, taking great care of the land and continuing to farm it. And so it's wonderful. Ben would tell me about how folks would come and drive down the road and, you know, peek from their cars or maybe wander into his yard looking at the farmhouse, looking for the maple tree that was such a central part of the book. And he referred to those folks as pilgrims, and it was just kind of fun to hear the stories about how people would come and visit. But
yeah,
Ben was incredibly welcoming.
It does seem like the farm kind of takes on mythic quality, Seldom Seen Farm. And Tim, this is something that you explore in your own work. What is it about that part of the state, the Driftless region and the land there, that maybe makes us look for deeper meanings?
Well, I'm obviously a huge fan of the Driftless area in general, and Ben's farm is, you know, really at the heart of it in so many ways. You know, it was one of the reasons why I co-produced the documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless, which is really a way to feature or showcase the incredible natural aspects of our landscape in southwestern Wisconsin. I mean, the fact that the massive continental glaciers repeatedly surrounded the area but never touched that over the course of millions of years. And, you know, it's an ancient landscape with incredible biodiversity. It's rugged, it's scenic, it's beautiful, and it just has so many special qualities. And the archaeological aspects of the land with the effigy mounds and the ancient rock art in the caves, it's really an amazing place.
Can we still visit it? Can the public still go there?
Well, the farm, there do continue to be organized public hikes. I believe, I think every year since the Mississippi Valley Conservancy entered into the conservation easement with Ben in 2008, we've had guided public hikes. It's not generally open to the public. You know, obviously there's a public road that goes by and people can drive there. But I encourage folks to, you know, get in touch with the Conservancy and find out when the next public hike will be. There is a, you know, private family living in the farmhouse and farming the land, so it's a private residence. But that's the beauty of a private conservation easement is the land can be privately owned, it can be permanently protected. The Conservancy is there to watch out for the land and to monitor it annually. But it remains a working farm. It is a real farm. It's not a museum. It's an actual functional farm there.
And that was his wish, as I understand it. You helped him bring that wish into reality. You got the conservation easements. You worked with him to get this farm, Seldom Seen Farm, protected. What did it mean to Ben Logan to have his farm preserved and to know that going forward, it would still be a working farm and it would be protected?
Oh, that was, I mean, that meant everything to him. He was so concerned about the farm. And, you know, maybe a year or two after we worked out the conservation easement with him, he ended up moving into town. And, you know, he just wanted to make sure that that legacy, you know, the subject of his book would continue to exist and be protected, not be carved up into little parcels or used for something, you know, inconsistent with the character of the land as described in his book.
And we have one more clip from The Land Remembers. Let's listen.
Now in a time of new awareness, I try again. It becomes the story of a farm and its people, a microcosm. For the land cradles all life. The land outlives us all, forever remembering us and writing an epitaph for the good or evil we do to it.
Oh, beautiful. Last lines there from Ben Logan's The Land Remembers. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Tim Jacobson, the CEO of Visionaire Consulting and Communications and executive producer of the documentary film Mysteries of the Driftless.